Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah.
Yes, we do. We worship him this morning, and we thank him for his glorious mercy, his faithfulness, and his love. We thank him for his grace and his forgiveness. We thank him for opportunities to study his word and to fellowship with one another. Welcome to the Friday Fellowship of Learners. We're coming to the close of supernatural transformation, having a heart like the heart of God. And so there's a couple of scriptures that I would like to share to kind of tie up what our focus needs to be. That song is one that I pray that we will just meditate on all day, so that all of the things that we have read, we have learned, all of the revelation that the Lord has given us in this book, through this journey, He will work it into our spirit. Our spirit, man, our heart will transform, and the world will see. And it says in 2 Corinthians 4, therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscious in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that's displayed in the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. But going to 7, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. We're perplexed, but not despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Christ, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our bodies. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. Praise God. And then we want to look at out of the, I think this is a New Living kind of word, our Matthew 5, because as we're learning, as we're hearing, as we're reading, as we're studying, as he's revealing to us, he's telling us the foundation of the heart like God. And he says, with promise, great blessing belongs to those who know they are spiritually in need, destitute, unable to function without God, no good thing in the flesh. Blessed, great blessings belong to those who are now saved, you mourn because of sin, and you will be comforted. Great blessings belong to those who are humble. You surrender all to God. We will be given the land God promised. Great blessings belong to those who want to do right more than anything else. We have to run hard after the Lord. Great blessings belong to those who show mercy to others. This is how they will know the mercies of God. Great blessings belong to those whose thoughts are pure, a pure heart, pure motive, free from offense, free from hardness and malice, a heart that is surrendered to man and to God. And blessed are those who work to bring peace, work to bring peace, for they will be called, you'll look like your father, your sons and daughter of God. And great blessings belong to those who suffer persecution for doing what is right. The kingdom belongs to you. Christ said, I am overcome, bro. You don't have to worry about it. Your victory is sure. Mine didn't look sure at the one point, but his is one that is glorified for eternity as he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so, as we just share these scriptures, we want to just bring to the front of our minds some of the things that the Lord has shared and revealed in our study. We are now currently on chapter 12, the last chapter in the book. So if you have your scriptures, any scripture whatsoever, whether it's your promise that you will use as a weapon to warfare and as a tool to strengthen your faith and your resolve, or if it's a scripture as we were looking at the characteristics of individuals that God said had a heart for him. So, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Share your stuff.
Good morning.
Good morning, Minister Paulette.
Good morning.
I didn't do a promise scripture, but I did do reflection on David's character. And David, I find that David, when he went up against the Philistines, I was reading, and not just that particular time, but David always acknowledged the Lord as being his strength. He never took the credit for doing or winning the wars under his own strength. He always acknowledged that it was God fighting his battle and going before him. And David also was a team player with his men. You know, he was with his men, and he would acknowledge them. I'm trying to find my other point that I had written out. But he would acknowledge them. And as I was reading, you know, he always placed his dependence on God. So, you know, that just tells me that, you know, we should always, you know, place our dependence upon him and acknowledge God in everything. And, you know, acknowledge that too in our witnessing to people, and never, you know, be so quick to give ourselves the credit, because it's not us, it's the Lord. So that's my scripture for today. But I can say that I don't have a scripture for my promise, but I find that, and I'm sure there is a scripture, I just can't think of one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I can. and that is that the Lord is my strength and my salvation.
Yes.
So when I feel that, you know, I just want to give up or whatever, I can stand on that he is my strength, and he has been my strength. And without him, I know I would not be where I am now. I would have just threw my hands up and said, forget it.
Amen. Excellent insight and study. I have a question. Now that we've finished off this book, can you tell me one thing, and I know there's many things, that stood out and has changed your mindset?
I didn't hear the first part.
I said that it has changed your mindset. Just one thing from the book, the supernatural transformation, the revelation and information.
The one thing that has stood out. I can't think.
That's
going to
be a question for everybody today.
So much has stood out.
Yeah, I know. That's very good. Remember, I didn't say stood out. Change your thinking.
Change my thinking.
Yeah.
Change my thinking. I have to think on it. I can't think
No problem. I didn't want to put you on the spot. But that is a question that I want us to be able to answer. And prayerfully we've gone through this and we had so many structural instructions. They give step 1, 2, 3, 4. These are the different things. And so we want to make sure that there's something that has reached the center of our thinking and is transforming it. That's one of the things the scripture said. You can tell by what the body does as to what's going on in the heart. Okay, anybody else?
Overseer.
Good dialogue.
Yes. Overseer. Can you hear me? Yes.
Yeah.
First, I had a promise, but I'll go ahead to answer the question you just asked. And that was finding people's other faults, but not seeing my faults. And just realizing that I was, I think what the book explained was, you know, that you had to not judging and not finding fault in others, but walking and seeing your fault and then dealing with them so that you can live in a more excellent way and being obedient to his will. That's what I have, in my opinion, have learned so much from, and just staying in his presence more is making a difference, you know. And the book, I'm finding myself have to read it over again because a lot of things I missed from it, but that in itself was just not finding fault, showing love no matter what it looks like, and quieting my spirit. And my promise was, don't worry about, and my promise was not being anxious for nothing. The scripture in Philippians 4:6, don't worry about anything, but in everything through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And God, he knows our problem. He don't want us to be anxious. And Paul said, there's nothing that should cause a child of God to worry. So God would not necessarily take your problems away, but he will carry the load for you. And so he wants us to experience his peace, which is beyond human comprehension. And so that's what I wanted to say, basically.
Amen. Amen. All right.
Good morning.
Anyone else?
Good morning. Only thing I just always remember that God is God.
All right, then. Say it again.
God is God.
Yes. Okay. Awesome. Apostle said at the end of the day, that's a drop the mic. God is God.
What did
we forget that?
What, Apostle?
She said drop the mic.
She said,
that's it. What else? But the thing is, we don't know that. And we don't know that name of God, of G-O-D. And we have been indoctrinated oftentimes, we haven't really seen the full picture. It's been diluted because our understanding has to come through Holy Spirit, through Holy Spirit. Amen. Anybody else? Anybody else?
Minister Paulette, I wanted to say,
yes.
I wanted to say when Evangelist Navella said, God is God. I wanted to say that I almost lost my thought, but I remember Apostle told us some months ago about, or she was preaching, and she said, you know, we know who Jesus is, but do we really know who God is? And so I was, then it come to my mind about the retreat that Apostle took us on, the silent, well, it was silent, but sort of silent, retreat, with, and we couldn't have any phones or television or anything like that. And so I think I had mentioned to Apostle about, you know, having doing that having an experience like that, you know, once again, where and I think it would be nice as to, you know, get before God to really, you know, experience Him some more. Because I was telling him about a silent retreat, you know. And, I mean, I think that from what I've heard, you know, that it would really, you know, be an experience for, well, let me speak for myself. Me. You know, where you're not talking, you can't talk to one another about whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just you and God, you know, and I think that would be an experience. But there is a note in the book, and all through this book is talking about God. And so you asked what was the question that stood out to me?
What changed your thinking?
About how God sees our hearts, you know. And I know that only He knows our hearts, you know, based on Scripture, because, you know, He sees the inward and man sees the outward. So, and I don't know if I read it in this book or something else, how from the beginning, you know, we were supposed to be, because He made us in His image. So the heart, how He wants our heart to be. And so I know we're not in 12, but it talks about the metamorphosis of our heart. And so it said heart, the heart thing that stood out, and where it says in one of the chapters, the only way our sacrifices will be pleasing to God is if we do them with a heart of obedience, by faith, and according to revelation of His will. So I still have, I don't want to say it's a problem, but when that word faith, you know, it always stands out. And then His will, I don't know, those two things always stands out to me, and I say, okay, And I know most people say, well, you know, his will is his word. But I don't know, those two things always pop out, and faith. So all through the book, he's been talking about the heart, faith, and the heart of obedience and faith in God's will. So, it just makes you know, look the more into those particular words and how they're used, not just naturally, but biblically, the meaning, because they take on different meanings and different aspects.
Amen. Amen.
Anybody else? I think the several things that have impacted my thinking, and that is a definition of some things that, like, what is really unbelief? You know, what is an offense, really? Understanding and then being able to see it as I go through life, as people talk, as I share, as I have acted, as I have thought, I find that it's going through now the understanding and definition that were shared with us about the various things that indicate a condition of the heart. And most times it's things that, you know, are kind of obvious, and so we look out for them. But I love the chapter on unbelief, because it's, you know, every Christian to tell you, yes, I believe. And that's when I realized, no, most of the stuff we don't believe. And so as a result, we have limited God by our human reasoning, because we have been programmed to do that. Human reason, even religious doctrine. And Prophet taught on Wednesday, and he shared from Revelation about that great city, Babylon, has fallen, and God is tearing down, and Babylon just represents anything that we hold above him, any idol. And he said the reason it's falling is because nations have become drunk in its wine. And so it's like we have consumed the ideas of the world and embraced them more than the book of Matthew 5. Okay, so when you read that, most people, well, you know, turn the other cheek. Who's going to say that? Okay. But there are so many things that we really just don't believe. And so because of that, we limit God based on our reason, not based on our love for him, but our understanding, as evangelist said, that God is God. And we don't fully have that, I hate to use the word again, but understanding of just who he is. And so we continue to try to put what we know in our path, or as a part of our journey. I know one of the things that he has shared in this season of my life is the fact that forget the past, the present, the pain, the problem, the prosperity. Six things. I forgot the six things. Because I am not in my circumstances. I do not live in my circumstances. I live in Christ. And those things don't be changed. And so to know what, not to know, but to have to understand the will of God and who God is, and to dwell in him, you know, this revelation of unbelief has to be exposed and addressed. And I love the way the author did it. He didn't do it as a condemnation, but just as inspiration, inspiring, telling us why, giving us signs that are indicating that it's there, and then showing us scriptural examples of people who did it, how to bring the stronghold down, which is what I love about his word, and the reason I know this is because that part of the book is so marked up, I can't hardly read it anymore. How to renounce the spirit, how to receive the spirit of faith, and receive the anointing of the word, and then that prayer for unbelief. And so that would probably be the greatest change that this book is bringing in my thinking, and as a result, transforming my heart, being transformed, and my thinking is changing. Okay, anybody else?
Minister, if I let you keep going in and out, like your volume.
Well, it's just sitting on my stomach. I'm not touching nothing. I don't know. Maybe that's when my wind is going out. Yeah. Okay. Sorry. Okay. So we are.
I like that chapter too.
Okay. We will finish the book today. So this is basically a summary of what to and what not to conform to. And what to seek, and so the author shares our lives are tangible evidence of the supernatural. That's how people will see miracles, signs, and wonders. And I will not surprise if we're told they will follow those that love the Lord. Each person, and I think this is important, because we often like to pigeonhole people. But it says each person experiences transformation in a unique way, because God's work in each of our hearts is distinct and special. And so often we judge and we look at another man's servant actually and judge and criticize and critique. They did it too long, or they did it too short, or they do it too wide, or whatever. And it's like God is in charge, and our job, the Holy Spirit will tell what our role may be in that particular situation. And so when he says we must comprehend the transformation of our hearts is not for our benefit alone, but also for the sake of those who do not yet know the God of heaven, the God who came to earth in the person of Jesus Christ to die on the cross and free them from sin and bondage. And now that Jesus has returned to heaven, he has sent us to set them free. He has sent us to be carriers of divine healing, deliverance, transformation, just as he brought divine healing, deliverance, and transformation to people when he walked on the earth. Jesus applied the following prophecy. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," and we all know that. Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, and recover the sight of the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed. It's a wonderful study that a prophet is doing on Wednesday. I encourage you to actually listen to this past week, because he shared how sin is ignorance and it's blindness. And these are the things that Christ came to give sight and recovery. He was saying oftentimes people think of it as a physical thing, but this was a spirit. He came for the spirit man to recover what we had in the garden, which he said our image that should be like Christ, our dominion and our power, our mindset. And I don't know why I keep forgetting the last thing, but it's four things. But you should listen to it, because it is what this scripture is telling us. And so our job then becomes sharing the gospel so that the truth of the scripture will live, not what somebody preached or said or whatever, but what the Bible says. In order to do that, we have to know that. God's special anointing after announcing the gospel was to address the matter of the heart. And so as the author takes us to the last point in his book, trap the conformity to religion. It says, we have seen that one of the chief hindrances to our transformation is conforming to people, conforming to ideas in our environment and situations, things that we've been taught that are contrary to God's nature and to his ways. So when you talk about getting drunk on the wine of Babylon, asking, well, what does that mean for Christians? So it's like, how many things do we do that are against what's in the Word of God? And so the first thing, obviously, is sexual immorality. And so it's taught, you know, that God says, abstain. You know, man says, you know, wear a condom, take birth control. You know, they give you all of these ways around it, and have abortion, all of these things. And we rejected that. You know, we become drunk. We become blinded. We become ignorant to what is actually explained to us. And so he wants us to wake up and to realize that we are drunk with this wine that is coming from a corrupt source. And so there are other things that don't seem wrong, because that's what they do in society. According to God, they are wrong. And we will tend, like, you know, okay, they, you know, I don't know who all is on the line, but now, okay, divorce. Okay, and then said, you know, Bible says you can't. And he said, yeah, because you know what? The heart is so hard, I have to do this for you. But his desire is what was in the garden, and there was no divorce. So there's so many different things that we have embraced, and we embrace them now, and sometimes it's hard to let them go. And they are in conflict with what the Word of God says. Okay. So, attacks of conformity are all around us, and we also are unaware of their hold on us, especially traps of conformity as it relates to religion. Many people have altered the practice of Christianity so that it has essentially become another religious rather than relationship with the living Christ. Christianity has been structured according to our human mindset, so that faith has become formalized and modified, and under these conditions, people are no longer edified. I love that. It says, for these reasons, let us review various types of conforming to religion while examining our own hearts in relation to them. We must regularly search our heart for the presence of such conformity in order to avoid being snared by the trap. And so he lists them, wanting to please others above God and averse controversy. And he says, by trying to please people, certain leaders have watered down the gospel, thus departing from the true nature of the church. Many times people, and probably you on the line, have been in a situation where there may have been a message or something you wanted to say. You knew that the Lord wanted you to say, and you thought, or you tried to modify it so it didn't seem so confrontational. And that is not. Sometimes if we're not confronted, then we don't change. So as many preachers today, the gospel of conformity, watered-down versions of God's message and salvation and transformation, because they're more concerned with pleasing people than with pleasing God, and they want to avoid controversy. Want to avoid controversy. They want to make people feel good rather than challenge them to increasingly reflect the likeness of Christ. These pastors promise blessing, but leave out the prerequisite of repentance. They offer grace without pointing out the need for obedience and for developing a holy fear of God. That's that God be God. So when we know that God is God, then we develop this holy fear of the Lord. And so we need to stand, let's see, the people greatly need to love God and his supernatural power. And if you love God, then you will surrender your heart in obedience to him. And as a result, when these moments of conformity rise up, the Holy Spirit will show them to you, and you can renounce them. As the scripture said, we renounce the secrets and the shamefulness of what we used to do, having an appearance of religious and supernatural. And so there are having a form of godliness, but denying the power. God's truth is the highest level of reality, and we don't believe that. God's truth is the highest level of reality. In contrast, a form of godliness is a mere outward appearance that has no relation to reality. When the truth of the gospel is preached, we no longer have the form of godliness, but the reality. And when it is preached, it transforms our own understanding. Sometimes I make notes on what it means. When we have a mere form of godliness, nothing changes our life. We continue to have the same dysfunctions, emotional needs, sickness, and so forth. And we keep trying to deal with them according to human methods. Even when we do human methods based on what we interpret God to mean or say, we are not really believing in his process, because we're trying to tell God what we want his process to look like. Mm-hmm. Okay. It says, we go to church without expecting to see supernatural manifestations, and we leave without having experienced any spiritual renewal. He said, when we don't wait on God, we take over his role. Consequently, we fail to do what he is doing and to say what he is saying. And that's one of the things that Elder Roberta shared, with that silentness, that being still before the Lord. That's a very, very difficult place to get into. Once you're in it, it's comfortable. But it's a difficult place to get into when you must quiet your mind, and you have to get to a level of meditating on his word that takes you to the spirit realm. And there's so many distractions. There's so many thoughts that the enemy will shoot through your mind. Not bad thoughts. You know, if you close the door is not locked. I wonder what this is. Just random thoughts that are part of our responsibility and our concern. However, we have to give them the proper position, and that is not over the worship and the time that we must spend with God. And it's during those times that he intimately reveals himself to us and gives us the strength we need to then obey his will. Many people feel intimidated when this happens, and sometimes they feel antsy, and you know, all of a sudden they head itch and they leg itch, and you know, they need to fix say this or they gotta go to the bathroom. You know, it's really something you really have to corral in your physical so that your spiritual can bloom and blossom. And so that's number two. Is having the appearance of religion. Then number three is abandoning the supernatural to return to the religious. So it says sometimes we've been there, we've done that, we've experienced it, just like the children of Israel and the parting of the Red Sea. And yet afterwards, it's like you began to become lukewarm. Sometimes you think you've arrived, you all of that and a bag of tea, overweight or whatever it is. And so we don't continue that hard press after God. We lighten up. We become complacent. We become lukewarm with a spiritual attitude, you know, that we're okay and something's wrong with them. I thought it was very interesting that some of the scenario pointed back to the four brothers. And so there are two camps going on, and, you know, one is obviously wrong and doing the, you know, drinking the wine of Babylon. And, you know, that was the brother that went and built the hut and decided to just live among the people after having been with the Father. He chose, and that's what he's sharing, abandoning the supernatural and just returning to religion, was the brother that was on the hill looking down on the brother in the shack. So he was keeping score, and yet in his heart was some of the most devastating evils, because they were hidden from him. Evils of malice and jealousy and anger and judging, critical thinking. And so those sometimes are things that we don't think it's okay to do, doing this because he thought he was doing it for the Lord. I'm going to keep track of this for the Lord. And it's like, no, that God keeps the record. He doesn't need us to keep it. So we do often abandon the supernatural to return to the religious. Even the brother that started to build his way back, that's the religious way. I'll work my way back to the Father. And that didn't work, and that won't work. And so it shares that perhaps they were entertained. Sometimes we're just being entertained in these awesome services, and we see all this wonderful workings of the Lord, and we experience it. He even says you could be slain in the spirit, you know, and you can get up and you haven't changed. So you were just being entertained. Okay. And so what happens to the Israelites, as we talked about, who have this spiritual transformation in our hearts, they remain cold and hard. A similar thing occurs in relation to many of the followers of Christ. The scripture says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. These disciples had seen the arrival of God's kingdom through Jesus Christ with his signs and miracles, yet they left the Lord because they were offended by one of his teachings. They called it a hard saying. They heard something from Jesus that seemed too difficult for them to accept, and they preferred to follow their human reason and pride and tradition rather than continue to follow the Son of God. That happens similarly today in the hearts of those who have not been transformed. They won't be able to tolerate certain words, revelation given by the Lord. You have been offended by a hard saying of Jesus. You must allow God to confront us with the true condition of our hearts and to challenge us to undergo transformation so that we will continue to follow him. We have to receive these challenges. We often say confrontation and controversy, but sometimes that's when change happens, as we are being challenged. The glory of the Lord has to come through the finished work of the cross. Religious spirits always oppose the move of God and the flow of the Holy Spirit. And then number four, these are all traps of conformity to religion. And when you see any of these characteristics, you know that that's the direction that things are going in, and you can change. Holding on to former moves of God and old methods, that's the wineskin. Preferring old wineskins over the new wineskin because it's not familiar to you, because it's not the popular thing, because it is not the conforming thing. The change is the enemy of the old guard. Everything that doesn't change will eventually die. And so we have to expose, but we have to surrender ourselves to the changes that God wants to make. You know, forget the past, the pain, the power, your prosperity, and your position. Forget all those things. Because every moment is a new moment in Christ, and we cannot make it successfully without direction from the Holy Spirit. And we must seek, and that's that thirst and hunger. You know, is this my next step? Is this my next thought? Is this, you know, my motive? You know, search my heart. Okay? And so then number five is missing God's fresh moves or rejecting them when they manifest. Some people in previous generations praised God for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit and a visitation of His glory. They prayed for it when it came in the morning because it didn't look like they thought He could. They rejected it when Christ went on the cross. Even Peter rejected the plan that God had to save the world because he told Christ, "Oh no, you can't die." And He said, "You know, you get behind me because this is the plan that the Father has." And so we want to make sure that we are in touch with the fresh move and not rejecting the manifestation of something new because we're not familiar with it. The scripture in Joshua told him, keep your eye on the priest and the ark, because where you're going, you've never gone before, and you can't make it without looking at those things. And that's the word of God and the message of God. And so this is what we must do. It says the children began Israel. We can't make unorthodox things because it was part of even their desire for a king. That came because of what was going on around them. And so they were choosing and not just surrendering. They were figuring, okay, we're going to be a new nation, then we need a king. Well, God had already had a king in mind, and it was King Jesus, and that would have been the only one they needed. Because they desired something else, they wanted something else, they rejected the plan that He had for them. Okay? And then it's touched but not transformed. I love that. Touched but not transformed. And I dare say we have all been touched many times. And we have left feeling good but not transformed. Not them, not empowered to continue the surrender to the Holy Spirit. The aspect of conformity to religion that affects some who have already experienced the supernatural, that are being touched by God, is still failing to be transformed. But some people want you to touch them, but they don't want you to hug them. And God wants to embrace us. And we basically just want to shake your hand. Okay. So we have key to transformation, and he shares with us transformation, our birth in the midst of spiritual dissatisfaction and frustration. So when we're dissatisfied spiritually or we're frustrated and we pray not to be, we thank God that we are, because that means the transition can be birthed out of that. Spiritual hunger inside of us is evidence that God is calling us to a greater dimension. And so sometimes we don't want to feel this way, but He's saying, no, this is the way I need you to feel, because I need you to run hard after me and understand you can't do this without me. And sometimes we do take our eye off Him because we think we know the way. When you have used up all your resources but still find yourself in the same place, transformation is necessary and urgent. Amen?
Amen.
We talked about
amen,
the
amen.
Of the fivefold ministry, and so often people say it doesn't need it this in this day and age and this sort of thing, but the fivefold ministry needs to be activated because that is God's plan. That is His plan, and it works. Amen. So,
amen.
Insight, inspiration, comments as we close out this book.
Beautiful.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to read
it again.
That's my plan, to read it through again, because, like you said, in reading it, you can see so many areas that need transforming in yourself, you know. I believe it was a book on time and in great timing for me. I'll speak for me.
Amen. Me too.
So my plan is to read it through again in that particular chapter that you were talking about. Stood out. And then sometimes, you know, you can't remember everything, but I know I need to go back through the book, because sometimes when you're reading it for one thing, sometimes you don't get everything, but then when you go back and just really take the time to read it and let it soak in, because I found everything that he said to be so true, and then some of the testimonies of some of the people stood out as well, you know. So I thank God for inspiring him to write the book.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, so anybody else? Because I'll give you the next book, I believe. Count It All Joy by David Jeremiah. Count it all joy. Discovering a happiness that circumstances cannot change. We don't live in our circumstances. We live in Christ. And so this David Jeremiah book, it is available on Amazon. The top price is $16.99, but you can get it used, you know, at a lesser price. It comes on Kindle. It comes on Audible. And, well, obviously, and then the paperback itself. So, we'll give everybody a week to get it. And next week, as Roberta was sharing, you know, about the supernatural transformation, we'll just kind of make a brief summary of that, some of the main points, looking at this. Just looking at the chapter, and sometimes that makes the best note when you look at the table of contents, and you just write a word or two. So I encourage you to do that with this supernatural transformation. It's 12 chapters, and each one has a topic. And so if you just look at each topic, one is obedient heart, and just write one thing you learned about obedient heart. Heart surrender to God, one thing, you know, understanding the heart. One thing, you don't have to write a book or nothing, but just a sentence or two. So it gives us a brief summary of things that we've learned. Okay? Anybody else?
I didn't quite hear you, but I'll call you.
Which part? I don't know. Maybe other people didn't hear either.
Well, I had to do something, so that's why I couldn't hear you.
Okay.
Okay.
But I'll just repeat it. The book we're going to do is David Jeremiah, Count It All Joy. I can pronounce his name. But for next week, we're just going to look at the table of contents in supernatural transformation and just write a sentence about each one of the chapters. And we'll share that during the class next week. And for those that get the book, if you're able to get started on it, we'll definitely look at the introductions. Okay.
Okay. You're saying count it all joy by who? David?
David Jeremiah.
Oh, David Jeremiah. Okay.
Yes, David Jeremiah. Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Say write
a sentence. Yes. I'm sorry, say it again.
You say write a sentence?
Yes. Write one sentence.
About what?
Each chapter in transformation, supernatural transformation. Look at the table of contents.
Right.
Table of contents lists each chapter and the title of the chapter. So by each title of the chapter, write one sentence about that chapter.
Oh, okay.
All right. So for Labors for Christ, remember worship starts at 4 o'clock in the sanctuary. So enjoy your worship.
Amen. You all.
Amen.
We'll talk
to you too.
Amen. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.